This episode is brought to you by Impossible Foods. When the world is telling you to eat less meat because it's bad for the environment and bad for your health, Impossible Foods wants you to eat more meat. Yes, that company that makes meat from plants, Impossible Foods. By creating delicious, nutrient-packed meat from plants that's better for the planet. Impossible lets you enjoy some of your favorite meaty products with a plant-based twist. Ground beef, home-style meatballs, sausage patties, and so much more. All made from plants. Check out ImpossibleFoods.com to see how you can help solve the meat problem with more meat. That's ImpossibleFoods.com.
Betches Media presents Diet Starts Tomorrow with host Aileen Drexler.
I'm having a relationship with my pizza.
In a world where wellness looks perfect on Instagram.
Just doing my workout. Tuesday's arms and back.
But feels anything but in real life.
Is butter a carb?
Yes.
This is the podcast exploring the emotional side of well-being.
I would be proud to partake of your pecan pie.
From people who understand the struggle.
I am on the third day of my cleanse diet.
Hello and welcome to Diet Starts Tomorrow. I'm your host, Aileen, and today's guest, she's a body confidence, self-acceptance, and lifestyle influencer from London, Alex Light, underscore LDN, which by the way, when I typed that out, I realized the LDN is London and I don't know what's wrong with me. She's also the author of the new book, You Are Not a Before Picture, How to Finally Make Peace with Your Body for Good. Welcome to DST, Alex Light.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. Do you know what? It's funny, the LDN in my handle, a lot of people actually think that stands for licensed dietitian and nutritionist, and I'm like, no.
That's so funny.
Not qualified, just live in London.
Just live in London. That's really, really funny. That's a great segue. You're not a licensed dietitian or nutritionist, but you do post. First of all, I love all your posts. They have gone really viral lately. Like I've just see them all over my page, or maybe that's the algorithm targeting me like crazy, but I really love the message that you're sharing. You also like shed light on a lot of stuff I didn't realize, even though I've been doing this podcast for years and years. You did a post about like Disney princesses and versus the villains, which I thought was very enlightening, and which we can get into all of that. But I just wanted to say I'm a big fan.
Aww.
And maybe for everybody who hasn't followed you yet, maybe you can share some background. Was this always your message on Instagram or social media, or was this always, did you always want this to be your job?
Yeah. So God, no, not at all. Absolutely not. So I was a journalist for 10 years. I was working at a glossy magazine, writing about fashion and beauty, and this was all during my, throughout my 20s, and in my sort of mid 20s, I was, I had this like, this job that was, like a really cool job, like what I wanted my whole life, like what I'd worked for fashion and beauty editor. And I was like, I alongside that, I had an Instagram account where I would just post my like fashion and beauty and post these pictures, these really like aspirational pictures that were like edited to the nines. Honestly, like nothing about those photos at the point of posting them were real anymore. They'd been run through like seven different editing apps. I'd like nip in my waist, make my bum bigger, like try and like create more of a jawline, everything, like you name it, whatever. And I was also in the thick of an eating disorder, like really in the depths of an eating disorder, which had developed from a disordered eating basically my entire life. And the shift to eating disorder had, I think as well, a lot of what I was doing had contributed to it, where I was working in the world I was working in fashion, which is obviously like synonymous with thinness and where thinness is glamorized. And so I was posting all these things and just writing about fashion on Instagram and beauty, and I just simultaneously I was learning about diet culture. And during my recovery, you know, I had this amazing therapist who was trying to teach me about diet culture. At first, I was like, ew, no, what's that rubbish? Like, it's innate. Like, people just want to be thin. Like, people just enjoy being thin. Like, people are attracted to thin people. Like, that's that. That's what it is. And the more I started to learn, the more things started to click into place. And I realized, I felt sort of galvanized into action is the word I always use, because it kind of made me a little bit ragey. Because I was like, this this world that I was discovering, diet culture, made me so angry for reasons we will go on and talk about. But it was so at odds with what I was putting out there publicly, and it just wasn't make sense, and it was jarring. And I was like, I feel like I have more to say than what I'm doing now, and I think I have more of a responsibility to show real, relatable stuff than what I'm doing at the moment, which is just completely not reality at all. So I made that shift, and it was kind of gradual, but it just felt really right. And the more I did it, I mean, my first posts were just like not good. I mean, I just didn't know enough about this world and about diet culture and what I was getting myself into. Now I know a hell of a lot more. So it's a really gradual shift that happened over time. And yeah, I mean, now I just think like it's so incredibly important to me, like what I do now and what I write about. And I'm obsessed, like you can tell, like I love talking about it. Like I love writing about it. I find that it's, I think we need to open more people's eyes up to diet culture. So I'm like fully in it now. But yeah, I definitely wasn't.
What were some like revelations that you had early on that like made you have that mental shift? Because for me, it took me a long time. I was very, like you're saying, like very deep into, like it was either I was on a diet or not on a diet. And when I was not on a diet, I was like,
yeah,
eating everything I could because I knew I was going to go on a diet. So like,
yeah.
And then when I realized sort of that there's a world outside of that, like you don't need to do that, but also that not everything is diet culture, but that there's an in-between. There is like a compromise. I felt like, wow, there's a world out there and I can get there, but it took me a lot of time. What were those little, you know, seeds? Like what were your revelations? Like I assume one of them was like, holy shit, I can't believe I've been editing my photos like this and this isn't normal, because that was one of mine.
Right. Like that doesn't even look like me anymore. And I'm looking at that and looking back at myself and feeling depressed when I look back at the real me. And that's not right. I shouldn't feel like that when I look at me, because that's me. What I see on the screen is not me anymore. Oh my God, I had so many of these revelations. A huge one for me was seeing, I remember this moment clearly, seeing a woman on social media and thinking, God, she looks great. She was wearing a bikini, and my first thought was, God, she looks great. And then my second thought was, but her body is really similar to mine. Like that's, you know, like practically an identical body to mine. So if I think she looks really good, why do I think I look so disgusting? Like, why am I so grossed out by myself? And I was suddenly aware of this disparity in my thinking. And I think that was the first time that I realized that, hang on, maybe this is a mind problem rather than a body problem. Maybe I hate my body, not because of what it looks like or anything to do with my body, but because my mindset isn't right. And I think that was very, very powerful. And as with all of this stuff, like, as you'll know, you have these revelations, but you don't, it's just, it doesn't like all click into place. It just sows a seed of doubt that isn't, you know, that you nurture and eventually blossoms into something. But that was a huge one for me. And also with the dieting, like, oh my God, diet starts tomorrow. Oh my God. Like, I feel like my entire life has been a whole diet starts tomorrow. Diet starts on Monday. Yeah. Like I'll be better on Monday. Like I'll just have this now, because then I remember one Sunday thinking, I have done this for the past Sunday. I have plotted a new diet for the past Sunday for every week of my life for almost my entire life.
Yeah.
Like surely if something was going to happen, it would have happened by now. But I wasn't really in the right mindset to lean into that. So I was like, no, I need hope. Cause you know, I still thought I had to be thin. So I was like, no, I need hope. So I'm going to go into it anyway. It's going to happen this time. And obviously it didn't, but that was a big revelation. And eventually I was like, hang on. If diets worked, we would all only need to do one diet. It would be one diet, done. People diet, lose the weight, and then that's it. That's what would happen if diets work. But a huge amount of people are on diets constantly. So there is something amiss. Like dieting is not effective. So that was another one. Oh my God, I've got so many. I have so many. Oh, just one more actually that I think was really important that I want to mention is what I was saying before about thinness, a desire to be thin being innate. I really believe that. I thought it's just the way we're born, you know, women especially, we just want to be thin. And you know, I thought I was only attractive if I was thin. And right. going back through history and finding out that actually desirability changes with decades and from culture to culture, because right. beauty standards are fluid and they change over time, meaning it's not innate, it's just conditioning. And just as conditioning is powerful, so is deconditioning. And that was a real light bulb moment for me as well, is realizing that, like, I'm not supposed to be thin. And, you right. know, my body's not supposed to be thin, and that's okay. I don't need to be thin.
Right. To be accepted, or to accept myself.
Right? Yeah. And to be like, to accept myself, to be like desirable, to be lovable, to be successful.
To be successful.
I thought, you know, and I always say, like, I'm not saying now I'm like this huge success, but in terms of my career, I'm lucky now that I'm experiencing, you know, like nice success. And the irony is I'm the biggest I've ever been. And so that's the proof, right?
Yeah.
That's got to make some truth, you know, around that.
Absolutely.
This episode is brought to you by Nuuly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always find the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you, Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for this season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. And you always have the option to buy what you love. I love Nuuly. I've rented so many cute things from there, and I've even made a few purchases from there, and they're always spot on. They have so many brands that I honestly could never afford in real life, so it's great to be able to rent them. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles, but right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DST20. Just go to Nuuly, that's Nuuly.com, and enter the code DST20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, with code DST20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes. Warmer weather is finally back. After so many cold months, it's nice to get outside and soak up the sun, but the springtime always brings those unwanted guests, pollen and seasonal allergies. April showers bring spring flowers and sniffly noses and stuffed up sinuses. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. I suffer from seasonal allergies. I just had them hit the other day. I couldn't breathe through my nose at all. And I popped a Claritin and it was like night and day. I'm a huge fan of Claritin. I use it on the regular and it always helps when we're making that transition from winter to spring, which is when my allergies flare up. Mainly it's my sinuses that get so clogged and the Claritin just clears it right up. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has 2 powerful ingredients in just 1 pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy throat and nose, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Ready to live your life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
So speaking of your success, you just wrote this book. It just came out, right?
Yeah.
You're Not a Before Picture, which I love that title. Because that's a very important message. Because I feel like a lot of people, myself included, just always look in the mirror and say, like, what can I change? What can I do? I'll be this, like we were just saying, if I just did that. You know, there's always something to change. But saying you are not that is turning that idea on its head. So can you share, like, what's in the book? What can a reader expect to learn or take away from it?
So firstly, yeah, I thought that was, that had to be the title, because I've always just like felt like a before picture, like a lot of women do, like you said that you mm-hmm. have as well. Like,
yeah.
And that mentality feeds into, oh, well, when I've lost that amount of weight, then I'll wear that dress, or then I'll be happy to go to that occasion or whatever. And you're always putting life off until you look a certain way. And I think that mentality is so toxic, to call on a cliche, like life is too short for that, and it's too short for us to think that we can't start to really live until we look a certain way, especially when a lot of the time we're just fighting with our reality, we're fighting with our genes and our DNA, like mm-hmm. we're not all supposed to be thin. Like some people are naturally thin and then some people aren't. So that was important for me to call the title of the book that, and just be like, let's stop wasting precious and valuable time mm-hmm. thinking that life's only going to begin at a certain point. And then, yeah, the book, so it was born out of women saying to me on Instagram, like, you feel better about your body, you know, you've gone through your eating disorders and now you feel better about your body, how can I feel better about mine? And I had a really long recovery from eating disorders. I initially was diagnosed with anorexia, which morphed into bulimia, which morphed into binge eating disorder before I actually recovered. And my recovery was long and really bitty. I felt like a lot of the things that amounted to my progress, I received from different areas of my life and my own research. I didn't have a resource per se, like one, you know, a comprehensive mm-hmm. resource that was going to give me the tools that I needed. And so when women ask me that on Instagram, I'm like, I can't give you that in a DM. And I was upset by that. I was frustrated because I could feel their pain, you know. I know the absolute pain. I remember DMing a woman who had suffered from an eating disorder and recovered. And I remember DMing her and saying, like, please, this is years ago before I had a following, but saying like, please, can you give me any advice, anything? Like, I know it's weird to message you, but I'm just so desperate. And whenever I get those messages, like I can feel, I can remember that feeling of just like, help, I really need help. So I was like, I'm going to write something that encompasses everything that has made me feel better about my body, all of those light bulb moments, and mm-hmm. even the non-light bulb moments, just those little moments in between that have just all amounted to progress. And I like to call it like a body image Bible. And a lot of it is doing a deep dive back into diet culture, which is a lot of what my page is as well, because for a long time I was showing my body off on Instagram and being like, hey, look, I've got cellulite and stretch marks and stomach rolls, and if I can, you can too. And I think that content is really important and has been an incredible gateway into self-acceptance. But for me, something was always missing, and I realized that what was missing is I felt like that is only tackling the surface of the problem, mm-hmm. and the root of the problem lies in diet culture and this diet industry, this $192.2 billion diet industry that thrives off of us feeling bad about our bodies, it thrives off of our insecurities. And it's just lining the pockets of a lot of people. And that's why it's so successful. And I think that conversation felt missed out to me, and the history of diet culture as well. And I think that was a really pivotal moment for me, was like learning about the history of diet culture and being like, there's a reason. I wasn't born hating my body. I wasn't born mm-hmm. wanting to be thinner. I was taught it, and we live in a world that teaches us to it. And I think it's so important to recognize that and identify that, because that to me is where you can really heal.
You were saying that you were DMing people, like when you were desperate for help to heal with your eating disorder. What was the moment when you did get help? Like, what got you there?
Yeah, well, it was my mum, actually. So I'd basically been on every diet under the sun since the age of like 11 to sort of early 20s. And I started on a juice diet, actually. It was all the rage in London at the time, like especially in the fashion industry, because as we said, it's all like super glamorized, and like mm-hmm. eating disorders are like starvation's pretty yeah. much feels very glamorized.
Yes.
And I started a juice diet, and it kind of, it unlocked this like much darker state for me that eventually just led into me cut, I mean, because juice diet is not eating at all, yeah. just drinking juices. And I just drank less and less and less juice until I just stopped eating altogether. And it was my mom then who was said, like, something is really not right. We need to get some help. Mm-hmm. And she took me to, I was really fortunate because, like, here it is, unless your BMI is really, really low, it's very hard to get help here. I don't know if that's the same with you guys as well, but you know, it has to be like worryingly low. So I was really lucky. I mean, that sounds weird to say, but in a sense, I was lucky that I was able to access help and access sustained help for it. And so, yeah, I went to a hospital for a while. But like I said, my recovery was not straightforward in any sense. And I think a lot of what I want to do, what I try to talk about as well is the like quasi recovery, is the in between bits of recovery, because I think it all sounds so straightforward when you hear about it online and on TV and in books. It's like, oh, she got sick, but she got help and then she's recovered and like, great, yay. And knowing all of that and hearing all of that and then me going through it myself and that not happening at all, I just felt like I'd failed to reach yet another standard. I felt like I failed again. And I think this applies to people, not just with eating disorder, but who are trying to feel better about their bodies and quit dieting as well. It's like, it's not just like an overnight thing, like one and done, you know, here we go. It's really hard work, especially when we live in a world that is screaming back at us to be thinner, be smaller, shrink yourself, look a certain way. Dieting is great. So yeah, I think that's for everyone across the board.
That's an important message that like there's no just end line. You've recovered. Yay, I'm done. I also see a registered dietitian and I'm like, we talk about it and she's like, think about how many years of your life you were on diets. Like it's going to take just as much time, if not more, to undo that sometimes. Like just to learn new habits or to unlearn those previous habits. It's not like just, oh yeah, you saw me a few times and oh great, you're healed. Like it's not like that. And
totally
from my experience also, just there's, you know, I did a lot of the intuitive eating work and then like sometimes I wonder like, what if I did go on a diet now? It would be different because I have this other mindset, but like, not really, you know, it's just, you know, checking yourself and it's like, it's up and down. And I like how you said there's like these quasi recoveries, but I think that's just part of the whole thing.
Totally. Right? How have you found working with a dietitian?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, it's so good, right?
I love it because, I mean, I've seen all sorts of therapists, blah, blah, blahs in my life. And this time I went in with a purpose and I knew what that purpose was, which our audience does know this, but I'll share it with you. Like I have been on diets my whole life. I had my wedding, the greatest diet of all time, but I took a really long time to get there. And I said, like, this is going to be it. And then for some reason, after the wedding, I was gaining weight. And I was like, how is this possible? How did it not work? And I lost weight over a year. I thought it was supposed to be slow and steady. I thought this was the right way. And, you know, it's still, I wasn't even enjoying any of the weight I was gaining. Like nothing was enjoyable about it. And I was like, holy shit, like I got to stop. This is like the end point. But then, I felt a little bit recovered, but then I got pregnant and I had a baby and I'm post baby now and I can't, and now I'm in this new body that I've never had before. And I'm just like, okay, now what? And so I'm seeing a dietitian to learn nutrition again. Because like I used to think like I know everything about nutrition because I know how many calories are in everything or how many macros you're like all for the sake of losing weight. But like, that's not actually like nutrition for the sake of health.
Right.
So I was like, this is what I'm setting out to do, learning nutrition for the sake of health for the rest of my life. And
love that.
that's it. That's where I'm at. But
yeah,
it's just up
and
down.
Funny. Did you find, like, because when I started working with a dietitian, and actually that was incredibly helpful for me, like, because up until that point, I was like, I don't need nutritional help. I know everything there is to know about nutrition. But like you said, I knew all the diet stuff. So like, and I had these weird beliefs that I could only eat carbs once a day, and that once a day needed to be lunchtime, and that I couldn't eat breakfast. And that was all just so not. And it was just things that, like, we pick up from different fad diets that we've tried along the way, isn't it? And then suddenly you're like, oh my God, people are supposed to eat carbs with every meal. Like, that's just normal.
Wow. It's what, like, a revelation.
Such a revelation.
Yeah. A big one of mine was that, like, all these rules, there's that rule. And then there's the rule that says, like, the actual opposite of it. And that's, like, the biggest sort of red flag to me, that there aren't rules. Maybe there's nutrition guidelines, but really, like, what works for you and your health is, like, individualized. So
totally,
that to me was also, like, a kind of a blinking moment where I was like, wow.
Yeah.
And also, like, did you feel like you picked up, like, really random, like, rules from every diet, and then they didn't even make sense together?
They made no sense. But what I'm most shocked about is my absolute, like, insistence that I was, like, well versed in nutrition. I thought I was just, like, a nutritional guru. I was like, I know everything. But actually, all I knew was, like, the specific calorie amounts for every single food and food product in the entire world. But, like, that's all I knew, which is so weird, so crazy.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, in the book as well, this isn't me just plugging the book, I promise, but in the book I did I did a chapter of, like, how we actually should be eating, because I think just a lot of us just don't realize,
like,
we just don't know, we just don't get it. And I don't know about you, but I feel like there's a lot on Instagram and social media about intuitive eating, and that's great. Like, it obviously, in an ideal world, everyone would be an intuitive eater, right? But to me, the stuff lacking on social media, and that stuff is, like, okay, great, but, like, how do I actually eat? Because, like, at the same time as I want to, like, treat my body and make sure I'm not deprived, I also want to give it the nourishment that it deserves. Like, I want to know, like, how much protein should I be eating, how much carb, just a rough idea. I'm not gonna, my guidelines. Whole meal's not gonna be like, just guidelines. Because I think, to me, that is missing on social media. Because I see these amazing posts about intuitive eating, I'm like, that's so great, and I want to get there, but, like, how?
Yeah. Right. Your intuition doesn't just click in.
Right.
Maybe it'll click in terms of, like, how much you can eat in that sitting, but it doesn't click in about, like, you know, gentle nutrition is a piece of intuitive eating, but, like, there's not enough actual information about there. And there actually is a lot of information on social media about nutrition, but it's usually from trainers and non-licensed people. And that is an issue. Like, I hear a lot of people, like, diet cultures all around me, from parents, all the people that I know. And I hear them, like, espousing, like, all this stuff that they've learned over the years. Like, I hear quotes from, like, Atkins diet, and I'm like, that is just, it's not true.
No, it's just not true.
Maybe a piece of it might be true, but is it healthy? Can your kidneys sustain that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
It's just all over social media. And, like, that part makes me mad, because now that I have learned a lot, I feel, like, also enlightened a bit. And I don't know if, like, you feel that way too. And, like, when you see stuff on social media, you're like, this is completely false.
Oh my God. I mean, keto, it feels like keto, I'm going to get in trouble for this, but keto feels like a cult now. It's just like, people are, like, so deep and invested in keto, and I'm like, I don't want to, like, piss on people's parade if they're, like, really into keto, because I also, like, understand what it's like to be on a diet and be thinking, like, this has got to be the one. So I do get that, but I mean, keto is just, I mean, it's just Atkins dressed up in, like, different clothes, and it's just
with just, like, slightly different macro adjustments.
Right.
This episode is brought to you by Azo. The Azo brand wants the world to stop treating women's health like a dirty word. Because the reality is, UTIs, yeast infections, and bladder control issues are common among women. But dealing with them is an uncommon act that many women are skittish about due to judgment, shame, and inaction. The Azo brand offers probiotics, prebiotics, and vaginal suppositories that help keep your vaginal health in check every day. Like Azo Complete Feminine Balance, designed with a clinically studied probiotic blend that helps restore natural balance of good bacteria. Also, Azo Boric Acid suppositories support and help with vaginal odor control. And Azo Dual Protection provides extra protection from the common cycle of urinary and vaginal issues. Everyday things like stress, your cycle, sex, and certain medications like antibiotics or the pill can disrupt your vaginal microbiome, allowing unfriendly bacteria to impact pH or extra yeast to grow. Guys, you shouldn't feel ashamed. Azo's got you covered. I'm a big fan of Azo. I actually keep it in my bathroom now because the last thing you want to do when you have a UTI is to run out to the pharmacy. So keep it stocked at home like I do and you never have to worry about it. I cannot recommend it enough. And you can save 20% now with promo code BETCHES on AZOPRODUCTS.com. Don't know which product you need? Take the quiz to learn more.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's get back to your book and everything and all of your posts. I like to talk about just body image in general and the word picture in all of this, because I think pictures determine a lot of the way we see ourselves. Because, you know, pictures, like we're talking about Instagram, social media, pictures are everywhere. You and I are looking at each other right now on Zoom. Like, we are constantly like viewing ourselves through a lens that isn't, we can't possibly see ourselves. So all we have are these pictures and all we have are these different lenses. And you post a lot about like camera angles and all of that. And me, like I, you know, just from my current experience, like I was saying, I'm in like kind of a new-ish body and I don't really know what to make of it because I've never seen myself in this body. But all I have is pictures. And when I look at it, I'm like, this isn't what I see in the mirror. I don't understand. But I take a selfie and in the mirror and that looks completely different.
Right.
How do we like kind of come to terms that we look different everywhere? And which version of us do we believe?
Yeah, this is so hard. And I know, I think everyone listening will know that feeling so well when you're like feeling happy in yourself, you're feeling comfortable, you're at an event, say, and then someone takes a picture of you, you see the picture and it is just so far removed from how you see yourself and how you saw yourself, and it throws you. It's horrible. It's a really horrible feeling, and it's really disorientating as well, because it's like, oh, so what I'm seeing isn't real, and you know, like, what do I believe? And the thing is that it's like cameras are so clever at capturing us, but they're also very clever at manipulating and distorting an image as well. And it's like, I did a post recently that basically you take exactly the same photo, but you just change the lens on the camera, and the results are like vastly different. In one, like my face is so, it looks so slim, and then in others it's so round, and it's just, you just can't rely on a picture, and we can't give pictures the power to make or break our day and to ruin our day. Like, we just can't do that, because they are snapshots in time. Like, angles are crazy. You can literally, like, as I'm sitting here right now, I could have, like, if I had like 10 different cameras on me, 10 pictures would come back and I would look totally different in all of them. And the thing we have to remember is, like, we are like living, breathing, moving, like 3D human beings, and not, you know, we're not like these static images. And I guess I can't really, a lot of people say to me when I do those posts, like, so what do I believe? And I guess the answer is what you see in the mirror, like, that's real, that's you. Yeah, that's how you right. are. Like, if you just get a picture that's a bad angle, that's all it is. It's a picture with a bad angle. I love that quote. It's about, you know, like sunsets. If you've ever seen like an amazing sunset, right? And you get your phone out, you're like, oh my God, I've got to capture this. It's beautiful. Yeah. And you take the photo and it looks so shit. And you're yeah. like, oh, and you're looking at the photo, you're looking at your phone and you're looking at the sunset. Yeah. You just can't capture it. And I think, yeah, just going back to like, don't let anything like that have the power to derail you. If you feel good, if you like what you see in the mirror and you're feeling good and you feel like you look good, that's all that matters. It really is. And also, you know, going back to the whole, like, we worry about what other people think about us and what people think are thinking when they look at us. And something that is, and actually this is one of the light bulb moments that I wanted to include at the start, is that realizing that people just don't care enough. Other people just do not care. Do you know what yeah. I mean? I went through this stage where I was gaining weight in recovery and I was like hysterical about it, absolutely hysterical, crying to my therapist, like sobbing. And she just said to me, you know, I said, people will be talking about me saying I've gained weight. And she was like, "And what? So what?" Mm-hmm. And I was like, that felt so confronting and I didn't really know how to answer it, because I was like, well, I don't know then what.
Yeah, the what is that they're talking. That's enough.
Yeah. And so she was like, okay, so your friend says to your other friend, oh, Alex has put on weight, and then what? And I was like, it's actually kind of true. Like, then what? Like, yeah. They both have busy lives. They've both got their insecurities of their own. Like, what the fuck does it matter? Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, what else can they talk about? What else can they do apart from say, oh, she's put on weight, and then what? Do you know what I mean? It's like,
right, yeah.
People are so wrapped up in themselves and their own lives and their own insecurities. If that's the worst that can happen, that a friend can remark that you've put on weight, like, so what? You yeah, know?
No, right.
I just think we catastrophize in our head and make it feel like this huge thing that it's going to be so scary and so awful, when actually it's just really not that big of a deal.
Right. You put like this anticipation of what they're thinking of you on this pedestal, like, and you're just like, you blow it up and you're just like, you think that it's just the worst thing ever that this person sees you in this light that is not the way maybe that you see yourself necessarily. And then yeah. what? right? That's what you're right? saying. That's what you're saying. It's like, okay. I think also like the distorted of all of the photos and the cameras, and like, I think it sometimes might worsen like body dysmorphia in some ways, because when you Definitely. Don't have something to rely on, like internally, when you are so reliant on a mirror to like set your day straight, like to set your self-esteem, that's when we become very vulnerable and we get yeah. upset when we see like one bad angle. But in reality, right. like the picture is 2D. I think maybe it was an article that was written about you that I was reading that was like a photographer, or maybe it was your post, a photographer like chimed in like, this is a 2D photo. Like, it's obviously going to be look different. And so like, for me, it's really helpful to like understand sort of maybe the science of like why we look different in photos, to remember that like yeah. it doesn't really matter. This is just a snapshot of you. And in reality, you are much more than what a photo says, right?
Totally. And something else that contributes to this as well is that the imagery that we're so used to seeing of other people is, I mean, through the media, through advertising, and through and typically that stuff is very curated, very uh-huh. curated, very edited, very filtered. But we're not getting that with ourselves. We're getting like raw, candid, random angles, you know? So it's like, of course, there's going to be a stark contrast, and that's going to make us feel bad. But I think it's important to remember that as well, is that you're not seeing those candid angles and photos of anybody else, really.
Well, speaking of everybody else, I think like celebrity, but you also post about like celebrity mm-hmm. photos, and like those, especially the ones that you can tell that the publisher is trying to make the person look bad. Like, I think it's really like Daily Mail does that.
Yeah.
And it just makes me feel so terrible, like, when I see that, because I know what they're trying to do, and they are saying yeah. this is a bad angle where she looks like heavier. This is what I think they're saying, not what I think, but what they're saying, and therefore you should feel XYZ, you should feel bad about yourself, or this person right. is going to be feel bad about themselves, and you set them spiraling. Like, you posted some pictures of Camila Cabello on social media, and then like a lot of comments that were people were sharing, and it was just like, it upset me. Yeah. But what do you think about all of that? Like the celebrity body shaming?
Yeah. And you're so right. Like those publications know exactly what they're doing.
I know.
And actually, I guess the power really lies with us not to click on those things and not to read them and not to scrutinize those images. But at the same time, I feel like we need to counter that narrative because, you know, and I feel like a lot of people think that the people commenting and saying those nasty things, like they're a different species of people. They're just like weird basement dwellers, like like grandma's house, just like, or like angry keyboard warriors. But I think we'd be so surprised to find out that a lot of these people are just like me and you. They're like normal functioning, like people of society in society. And I think we need to talk about it. We need to talk about why people feel the need to body shame like that and be so disgusting and so aggressive. And actually, I believe that a lot of it comes down to, it's just a projection of pain that they felt, you know, because of how they've been treated throughout through their body and the standards that they feel that they're held to. But yeah, it's really disgusting. And it means that any young girl, and a lot of people read, for example, the Daily Mail, which is where that article was. I think it's the biggest news, online news source in the world. So like, think of how many people are clicking on and reading that. And it's just, yeah, it's horrible. Like, I wish they would filter the comments, but I suspect that they don't because, well, they know what they're doing. You know?
They know what they're doing, but, and people are looking for those comments to see like, oh, is my inkling about what I think about this photo correct? Like, even though in the darkest part of our minds.
Exactly.
And the thing though, when I see these pictures, like if I see a picture of J-Lo or something and I see sort of this alternative angle of hers and she looks more human, I feel instantly better about myself. Not because she looks bad in any way, but because she looks human. And then I compare it to her own posts and I see like she's kind of giving in to those higher beauty standards. Like there's never enough for anybody. Like Kim Kardashian constantly editing her, still face tuning her photos, which to me is crazy. Face tuning like should have ended like years ago.
Like, especially when she's been called out for it like a million times.
I know,
and
she keeps doing it. I always look for it now. It's just to see that there's really no, like, you can be this like known as the most beautiful person in the world, but A, you are just human, remembering A, you're just human, and B, that like they also have days like us. Like, I think that's sometimes what those pictures remind me. I don't know if you feel that way.
Do you know what? I definitely used to. I think, I mean, I'm not saying like on the like pinnacle of self-acceptance or whatever, but I think I've done enough work on self-acceptance for me to actually, it is a form of comparison. It's like it's a downwards comparison.
Yeah.
Sort of thinking, oh, she makes me feel better, you know, because that's not such a great angle or whatever. And I think that stuff, while I do think it's necessary, like initially, I think that can also cause problems as well.
Because you're comparing.
Yeah, because you're comparing. For example, if you take Adele, for example, she was like the plus size woman's hero, right?
Yeah.
She was like finally this super successful, like incredibly successful woman, and she's plus size. She's living in a fat body. And then she lost all that weight. And as a result of the weight loss, so many women were triggered by it. Totally understandable, because they'd held her on that pedestal. Like, she made them feel better about themselves, right?
Right, right.
And I think that's the problem with anyone that you compare yourself to, even in that way. Like, whenever you do that, you're placing your value and your worth in someone else's hands. And when it's in an external source, it's always going to be on a very shaky foundation. It's not built on a strong foundation. And I think the only way that you can really gain true self-acceptance and feel really solid in yourself is to build that on internal acceptance. Right. At least that's what I think. But I used to do that a lot. I really did. But now I feel like I'm at a place, and this is like years and years later. I remember I've been doing this for a hell of a long time, but I just feel like I'm in a place where I can like appreciate everyone's body. I just don't really care what they look like after 30 yeah. odd years of caring. So,
right. No, I think that's a great point in terms of the comparison. What I was just saying was that, like, who actually knows if they are or not okay with what those pictures are? But to see Camila Cabello say that she knows that you're posting this and I'm still going to look like this anyway. So, like, kind of F you.
Yeah.
But it does hurt yeah. sometimes because I know what you're doing. But to know that that's her narrative and just kind of like going on with her day and getting those photographs and saying, F you, I don't care. This is who I am. And then seeing that she yeah. is actually just like a human being who is just like extremely talented for her singing abilities. Like, I think that is the inspiring thing that makes me or like would make me feel good about myself.
Totally.
I totally agree with you about Adele or like Rebel Wilson, for example,
yeah. who's,
it's amazing that they did what they wanted to do and they, whatever, feel yeah. happy. But I agree for women that they were like these idols too. I think that definitely makes you question like, oh, what about me now? What am I supposed yeah. to do?
But what you were saying, sorry, I hope I wasn't sounding like preachy there, but like I was just
no.
meant like in terms of like, does it make me feel better? But I 100% agree with you. And like, we need more women like Camila Cabello being like, well, yeah, like F you, I'm going to look however I want. I'm going to wear whatever I want. And exactly. if you want to take pictures, you can take pictures, but this is my body and I'm proud of it. And mm-hmm. I think that is so vital, especially for, well, for all generations, you know, I say the younger generation, but us too, you know, yeah. we've been like huge victims of like absolutely totally. Flawless, like airbrush celebrities. So yeah, I think it's like hugely important. I love
yeah.
her.
Yeah, same. And she also like just wears kind of like funky stuff. And that like yeah. also like people like say shit in the comments, but it's like she also doesn't seem like she gives two shits. And she's yeah. just sort of like just wearing whatever, regardless of whether or not like she should be based
living
on what people are saying. Yeah. And
yeah.
she's just living her best life in the outfits that, you know, represent her personality. And I kind of just really yeah. like that.
Love that.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Did you recently say yes to marrying the love of your life? Do you have no idea where to begin your wedding planning journey? Has your future mother-in-law already made you cry? Have you gone through the whole wedding planning process and have some wisdom to share? The Betches Brides podcast is here to help you laugh or cry through it all. I'm Selena Kopic, and I'm the new host of Betches Brides. In this season, I'll take you along my wedding planning journey alongside my co-host and good bestie, Chelsea White. We'll swap wedding planning stories, answer your wedding planning questions, and be totally honest with you on if you're actually being a bridezilla or not. Betches Brides is here to help you not trip down the aisle. So be sure to tune into Betches Brides every Monday on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And follow at Betches Brides on Instagram for even more wedding inspiration.
One thing, speaking of celebrities, that like really was jarring to me to go backwards in the past
yeah.
of like Victoria Beckham, that one video, and I know you know what I'm talking about, the one where they make her step yeah. on a scale.
Yeah.
When I saw that, I was floored.
I know.
Floored.
I know. Unreal.
For everybody listening, the video that I'm referring to, Alex, you posted that, but it's like she's interviewing for a talk show or something, a radio show, and she just had a baby, and the man, he's the host, is asking her if she's, you know, lost her baby weight, right? And then he goes, let's check, pulls out a scale and has her step on it and then judges whether it's good or not.
Yeah.
To me, that is truly the most horrifying thing I've ever heard or seen, but it actually happened, which
yeah.
makes me like, you know,
I know,
hurt for my younger self who used to like want to be Posh Spice, you know?
Right. And watch stuff like that, because I mean, that is particularly like overt, but we saw loads of little stuff like that.
Loads.
And yeah, so much, so much. And like, I mean, it is just literally like he cheered. He said, oh, not bad. 8.5 stone, not bad. And then the audience like claps and cheers.
Oh my God, the audience.
It's like, this is so crazy. And also imagine if it was a man on, right, like who'd come on. Like, why the fuck would they ever think to weigh him? They wouldn't. Of course they wouldn't, because it's just weird. Like, why are you weighing her?
The thing that like also I was thinking about is just thinking about a former self watching this as a very young, vulnerable girl, is thinking that like men are judging your weight.
Yeah.
Like that part. And just so I kind of watch that and I feel a little bit more appreciative of like how much maybe progress we've made in terms of like pop culture. Do you feel like there has been a lot of progress, or do you think there has been progress in hiding, like not being so overt about it?
Yeah. I think it's become like diet culture has become very good at dressing itself up in different clothes, you know, and for example, in wellness and well-being and balance, you know, a lot of that stuff is just pure diet culture. And you know, I always struggle to answer this because I think I'm in a bubble. With who I follow on Instagram, like my feed is beautiful. Like it's so curated and I've got so many amazing like people and women on there that I just love, obsessed with, and they're all fantastic. But then something will just burst my bubble. For example, the National Enquirer. I don't know if you saw that magazine that came out. I think it was at the start of this year. Maybe or last year, and it was best and worst beach bodies, 50 celebrity best and worst beach bodies
this year.
And it
in the UK.
no, in the US.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And it was one of my posts that went viral because people were like, oh, but you know, you're just picking out an old magazine. I'm like, no, this has just been released. And it was absolutely shocking. They put Tess Holliday in there and said, oh, she's having a whale of this 200-pound woman's having a whale of the time.
Sorry.
At the beach. And I know it was really unbelievable. I'm trying to get the cover up for you now because it is beyond shocking. And so I see things like that and I'm like, okay, well maybe it is still like ridiculously overt, because that is here you go, this is it.
Wow. Yeah. And you know, that stuff just like you're grocery shopping and it's there and it just, like you said, bursts your bubble. Like you can't avoid it. I can't believe that this year.
I know. It's just mad,
that is,
isn't
shocking.
It? What is clear, I'm sure we've made progress. I want to be very positive that we've made progress, but I do think that we still have a long way to go. And especially in terms of fat phobia, I think fat phobia is still so rife and people just have this very deep seated fear of being fat. And I think we have a really long way to go in that aspect particularly.
Right. It definitely feels like the conversation just started. Even though it feels like we have made progress, it feels like it's just starting. And I don't know if it's going to be completely changed in our lifetime, but we'll see what happens in the future.
Yeah.
Are there any points or tips that you can kind of help any listeners with, you know, kind of that self that we were talking about, you know, not comparing and, you know, kind of healing within? Are there any, maybe some things from your book or like any points of or reminders that people can kind of take with them after listening to this episode to help them, like, you know, with their inner monologue of acceptance?
My favorite point on this is this analogy with flowers, right? So I think we now live in a world where we're all striving to look the same, and that's one way, and that's just one very narrow standard of beauty. And if you take a step back, like, that is so weird and so warped, because we are so vastly different. Like, we are so diverse, we all have different genes, DNA, like upbringing, environments, we look so different, and like that should be the coolest thing. Like, that should be the beauty. Like, diversity should be the beauty. And yet we're fixated on this quest for this one type of beauty, which is just so warped. And I love this flowers analogy of like, there are so many different beautiful flowers in the world, right? I mean, you can have your favorites, but they all look, they're all gorgeous. And imagine if there was only one, like imagine if there was just a rose and like that was the only a type of flower. Like how sad is that?
And all the peonies and all the hydrangeas are just trying to be roses. Like it's so sad.
Exactly. It's so sad. And I just feel like it's such a good analogy for like us and what we've ended up becoming. It's just striving for this one type of beauty when really the beauty is in diversity. And if you can really make yourself realize that and challenge yourself to look for that beauty outside of what's been, what you've been told is beautiful. And if you really look around and try and see the beauty in diversity and in places and in people that you wouldn't have seen it before, that's so powerful. And ultimately that's going to lead you to seeing the beauty in yourself because it is there. Mm-hmm. It's just, we've been so conditioned to not see it. Mm-hmm. And that's such a shame. And I just, yeah, for anyone listening as well, I would love to say that like, this stuff is possible. Like it's possible to be at peace with your body. It's possible to not be on a diet. You know, it's possible to live your life just like eating like a normal person and also not having to think, not being consumed constantly with eating and your weight. And it's so possible. And if I can do it, like, so can anyone, you know, I want that to be like, that's not me being like, oh, I did it. But I mean, like, I want that to be motivating and to be like, yeah, because it is possible. I think we just think we're so entrenched in it and it's so ingrained in us that like, we're just going to have to accept that this is our lives forever, but it's not the case. And we can break free of diet culture and break free of this just belief that we have to be thin in order to be happy. Cause it's just, it's a myth. It's not true. And happiness is already there, like ready, waiting for us. We just have to get rid of all this shit to like really, truly access it. If that makes sense.
That does make sense. Thank you. That's a great perspective about the flowers, especially. I really like that because you would talk to those hydrangeas and those peonies, be like, you're crazy. You're beautiful. I love
you.
I'm planting you. You're amazing. Why would you want to be a rose? That's so true. I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Alex. Where can people find you? Where can they buy your book? Please share it all.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. So I'm on Instagram at alexlight_LDN. And yeah, my book, You're Not a Before Picture, is on Amazon. So yeah, thank you so much.
And it's out now, right?
It's out now. Yes.
It's out now. Great. Well, congratulations. On your book. And join us this Thursday. Alex is coming back for our Thursday episode. We're going to do some DST wins and answer a listener email. So guys, don't forget to listen this Thursday. And that is it for this episode of DST. Email us dst@betches.com to get your questions answered. You can call us 212-287-5650. Follow us at Diet Starts Tomorrow. You can follow me at Aileen. Follow Alex at AlexLight_LDN, London, not licensed dietitian nutritionist. And we're always with you.
Through thick and thin.
Diet Starts Tomorrow is produced by Sean Kilby, Stacey Wong, and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Stacey Wong. Be sure to follow at Diet Starts Tomorrow on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And send us your emails to dst@betches.com.
Thank you to our partner, Impossible Foods. Some people say we would be better off if we ate less meat, which is why Impossible Foods made delicious and nutrient-packed meat from plants. So you can eat more meat, like home-style meatballs, hot dogs, chicken nuggets, and so much more, all made from plants. Impossible creates delicious meat from plants that's better for the planet, so everyone can eat more of it. Check out ImpossibleFoods.com to see how you can help solve the meat problem with more meat. That's ImpossibleFoods.com. EFOODS.com.
Betches.